Anthony Sanchez is our guest, and he has a book called UFO Highway. And basically, it first started out as an e-book, actually started out as a dream, Anthony, and you followed it through, and now it's published. It's a hardbound book. People can buy it from your website, I take it.
UFOHighway.com.
And I imagine it felt good to actually touch a book after all these months.
Oh, I tell you, it was finally a dream come true for me. It was what I had always wanted. I wanted to physically be able to hold a book that I can give to people. You know, let me tell you something. When we were in Dulce, we were so overextended, we were over budget, and we needed to sell books to get home. But you know what? I was giving books away for free to people. I'm not in this to be rich. I'm not in this to make a name for myself and sell books like a lot of other people are. I'm in this business to find the truth. And much to the dismay of my publicist, I ended up giving a lot of my books away. But that's just the way I am. Even today, I was corresponding with someone on Facebook, and he really wanted my book, and he explained to me that he had financial difficulties. And guess what? I sent him a book for free. That's just the way I am, and I'm not in this for money. If anybody thinks I'm in this for money, they are totally wrong. I'm in this to find the truth.
And, of course, you could use the money. All the book sale money goes to you and your company.
Yeah, what the book sales do is it allows us to be able to travel to places like Dulce, and it also allows us to buy equipment like high-definition cameras, you know, a lot of, you know, scientific equipment from, like, you know, places like Radio Shack or ones that we make ourselves. So, yeah, you know, it allows us the ability to afford a little bit of an expense towards better quality-grade equipment.
We're talking with Anthony Sanchez, and we're talking about his book, UFO Highway, and we're going to open up the phone lines again, 888-919-BELL. That's 919-2355 if you have a question about Dulce or anything for Anthony. He's a pretty open guy. And Anthony, you finally entered the big leagues because you're up there with me and Kerry Cassidy and a few others that, you know, you get a lot of detractors now, people taking pot shots at you.
Yeah,
so that
you
means
know,
you're
I mean,
doing, in my opinion, that means you're doing something right. I've always taken that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. And, you know, like I said, you know, they're going to come at me. They're going to, you know, fabricate stories. They're going to take emails that I've sent to them, twist them, augment them, and create these lies. And it's okay. I know that there are people that, you know, in my mind, I truly believe are funded by malevolent organizations to distract the public from hearing the message that I have to provide. And it's just not commonplace. This is commonplace. There are other reputable investigators out there who have been slammed by so-called fellow UFO investigators for various reasons, predominantly because you're hurting their book sales, which is just ridiculous. But, you know, I think it's just these people are being paid by organizations to hinder the work of others, and it's just not right. I'm in this business to get information out to people, and but, you know, when I don't give them energy and I look past their nonsense, their shenanigans, I'm able to do things like go up to the Mesa and make a major discovery. You know, how many people have ever done that before? No one. No one has ever found military-grade equipment or, up there before, property. You know, it literally says U.S. government property. Who's done that before? No one. I was the first, and I did it. Why did I do it? Because in my heart, I believe my source, and I believe the people who have been talking to me for, you know, so long about Dulce, you know, these people tell me, you know, when we're off the reservation and we talk to people and we tell them about what we see, they think we're crazy. And you know what I tell them? You're not crazy. You're just material witnesses to something that's actually happening.
Todd, you're...
Okay, we have a couple of callers we're going to go to in a minute. First of all, I got another email, this time from movie producer Robert Miles. And he says he's worried about you. He thinks people, are taking, he think, and in other words, paraphrasing, he thinks, you're in dangerous territory. What do you think, Anthony? I've kidded you about that. But, he might be right.
He may be right.
I mean, why would they want to do, they want to do harm to you?
I think because we're getting close to finding something that we're not supposed to be looking at there in Dulce. And yeah, it's putting a lot of pressure on us. And I think that we're seeing an escalation in the attacks. And, I just last night, I had to send an email to, this other, UFO person who sent out a little announcement saying that he was going to tell the world about me and this and that. I have nothing to hide. I have absolutely nothing to hide. I spoke with several people in this business, and the minute I detracted from what they felt was the norm for a UFO investigator, the minute I wanted to seek out a medium and have them, provide analysis on, psychic analysis on artifacts that I had received from a friend there in Dulce from the Mesa, they went into a panic. They're like, how dare you bring in a medium to the world of UFO research? You're tarnishing ufology. It's like, first of all, there's nothing mainstream about ufology. There's nothing mainstream about ufology, and I have every right to do whatever it is I please as an investigator to get to the bottom, of things, to get to the truth in any manner that I please.
Our telephone number, 888-919-BELL, that's 888-919-2355. First caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Jerry. My prayers are with you. You do sound like something's happened that you got to expose to some kind of chemical agent. Maybe something like they did in Vietnam with the napalm. I hope it's not like that. But my question is, why is Dulce not really, how they got Area 51 guarded? You can't get past a certain perimeter. They don't seem to have that guarded besides the reservation. Why do you think that is? Is it because they got the invisibility cloak?
Well, it's because my personal belief is that already there is a natural perimeter that you really cannot get past. And that's the law enforcement agency, which is one hell of a group of police officers. I met some of them. And these are highly trained professionals. When you go back 25, 30 years ago, a lot of people are going to tell you, even they will tell you, we really weren't trained back then. Today, these officers undergo a hell of a lot of training, equivalent to or better to officers in surrounding non-reservation counties. These are highly trained professionals. And they have a really powerful grip on their little community, and they're very protective of the Jicarilla Nation, and I applaud them for that, because you have idiots who are going there trying to breach the perimeter and conduct their little illegal investigations, and one of them, who is part of this group of individuals who is attacking me now, if Robert Hastings and Frank Warren and all these other guys come out with the information they have, I am going to expose their little friend in their group who has illegally breached their area, and I have email evidence that he has done this. He emailed me the map and how he did it, and I will go to the hilt with this one.
I think Dulce actually in the Archuleta Mesa is actually pretty well guarded naturally, and also by the police department down there.
That's right.
And
that's right.
People and when people do get up there, they usually have encounters with people in uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably some sort of private guard service or army paramilitary unit.
Well,
it doesn't seem like it is like Area 51.
No, you got to put it into perspective. Remember this. Just this summer, several hunting parties were confronted by military personnel who pointed AR-15s at them and told them to get the hell out of there. That's good enough for me to turn around and leave.
Awesome. Yeah, okay, let's move on to the second caller here. Are you there?
I believe I'm here.
Huh? I think we have another caller.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, J.C. Johnson. How are you guys tonight?
Okay. How are you?
Good. Hey, just been kind of worried about Anthony. I've been following all the latest developments, and I'm really concerned about you, brother.
Yeah, hey, J.C.'s one of my Facebook buddies. How are you doing, J.C.? It's nice to finally talk to you.
Good, sir. Good. And I've been in contact with some of my contacts in the Jicarilla, mm-hmm. in the Dulce area, and I think their biggest concerns at this point is how you possibly came in contact with the pathogens that have put you in the position that you're in right now.
You know, we've been doing a lot of analysis, J.C., and I don't think it happened there on the Mesa. I don't think it came from touching the containers like we originally believed. My people are telling me that something happened to me. I really can't go into it, but we don't believe it happened there at the Mesa. We believe something did happen to me.
In other words, you think you were contaminated.
Yeah, I do.
Well, it's definitely possible.
There was a strange incident that occurred during the day at a location off the reservation that I don't want to name at this time because, one, I don't want to get sued, but something very strange happened at this location whereby we were being served lunch, and I was the only one who was served by this specific individual who, when we went back and did our research, nobody knows who that person was. We think that's what happened to me, that somebody served me something that, you know, a drink. It was a drink. And nobody recalls this person from the establishment. They said, that person, we don't, there's nobody here that looks like that works here. Well, my team says, we all really remember because everybody else got served by this really attractive young woman, and I wasn't. I was, you know, served a drink by some middle-aged dude who apparently doesn't work there. So we think that's what happened. It wasn't in Dulce. It was in a neighboring community. It was during the meal that we were having, and I took the family there with us. The family that was hosting us, I took them there with my research team, and that's what we believe happened now that we're analyzing. Because we've been trying to figure this out. What the hell happened to me? And we think we've nailed it. But I'm not going to ding the establishment because I don't want to, you know, one, I don't want to hurt their business. They're good people, and I don't want to get sued. So, but we think we figured it out. Somebody there served me something. And this person doesn't work there. We have gone over it again and again with the establishment. They said that nobody like that works here. So we don't know how they got in, and we don't know how they were able to do that.
Okay, your buddy's still on the line. You got anything else to say?
I'll be praying for you, Anthony, and a lot of people are praying for you. I hope you're doing better. Get stronger.
Thank you.
Be careful.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, caller. This is Jerry Pippin. We have Anthony Sanchez with us. The name of the book is UFO Highway. Our 888 number is flooded. People trying to get in, and they can't. So we have a 970 area code possible, and also an area code 234. And I assume that you use those area codes and you call as a backup the regular number here, which would be 919-2355. If I'm in error, we'll find out pretty shortly. Anthony, a lot of interest in this, and when did you first become aware that Dulce would be such a hot button?
You know, I didn't know anything about Dulce prior to meeting with this individual. I really was not that interested in the whole Dulce story because, you know, there was already a lot of information out there with respect to Thomas Costello, Ann West, and even John Lear, and all these people regarding this whole reptilian aspect to the story. I had no interest. It wasn't until I met this individual through another contact of mine that an interest was sparked. When he told me what he had done, where he had been, I said, okay, I need to look into this. And that's when I really went headfirst. I delved headfirst into the whole Dulce history and the series of events that he told me about.
A lot of people have written me emails concerned about the safety not only of you, Anthony Sanchez, but others that are whistleblowers.
Yeah.
And I've always felt the best way to combat that is to just be public as much as you can. And you and I have talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times the messenger is the one that gets whacked. And over the years in broadcasting, I've had people fire shots at me. I've always felt that it's happened a couple of times, both times in Nevada, as a matter of fact. But I felt, you know, it was more or less a warning rather than a... I'm just incredibly lucky. I think you're more likely to be harmed with something like you're talking about, a bio attack, a biological attack, or just out and out poison.
Yeah.
So maybe you need to get one of your buddies to be a taster.
Yeah, Rick. I'm going to get Rick Prestel, my fellow researcher. I'm going to start making him drink everything first and taste everything first.
Right. Every who serves you the drink, say, hey, you drink after me. You drink first.
Yeah, I'll get my buddy Rick to do it.
but then
who's going to man the high-def camera if Rick goes down?
Yeah, you're right. You can't get rid of your important crew. By the way, speaking of that camera and your work there, are you going to come out with a documentary?
You know, I'm not for certain we're going to do a documentary. What we're probably going to do is release the video of the presentation I did for Janet Saylor at the ASPE Symposium. We're probably going to do that, and here's the reason why. We're conducting an ongoing investigation at the moment, and until we complete this ongoing investigation, we can't even think about a documentary. So what we're probably going to do is, for free, release the symposium presentation that I did. We'll put it on our website and on YouTube for free. We won't charge for that. I'm sure my publishers are not going to be happy with the announcement I just made, you know, because how the hell are we going to get funding for our work? But, you know, sometimes you just got to look past the dollar signs, unfortunately, like some of these other people who are attacking me, you know, do. Let me point something out. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine today. His name is Kevin Smith. He does a show too, like you, Jerry. And I told Kevin this. I have no problem with radio hosts, UFO researchers, paranormal investigators asking for donations because, hell, we all need money to conduct these investigations. But I have a problem with people who put up websites and just spit out the same information over and over and over as a means to ask for money, 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 money. And one of these individuals attacking me, that's what he does. He's just in the business of spitting out the same old stories just so that he can justify asking for money. And his website is flooded with these ads. Those are the type of people that get on my nerves. I'm not that type of person. Go to my website. We sell a book. You're not going to see any other, you know, links to PayPal or anything anywhere else other than the book. And if you're having financial difficulties, but you want to understand what's going on, let me know. I'll send you the book for free. I've done it in the past, and I'll do it again. So that's the difference between me and these other guys.
Yeah, I just wouldn't let these detractors bother me too much.
Yeah.
A lot of that is a professional jealousy, and a part of it is they just don't happen to believe what you're writing, and they like to blame the messenger. I mean, I do all kinds of shows, have all kinds of guests talking about all kinds of things, and all kinds of hypotheses, and all kinds of political beliefs. And believe it or not, a lot of people seem to take me to task instead of the person making the statements. And I kind of feel my job is to let people, as guests, explain why they feel the way they do and bring forth the issues. And you've always been a straightforward guy as far as I'm concerned, Anthony.
Oh, yeah. You know, the one thing that if I may, Jerry, there's just one thing that I would like to point out here. You know, the people that are attacking me over the DD-214, which is the discharge information from the colonel. And it's absolutely ridiculous. This person is taking the DD-214, back to the NPRC, where I got the document from originally, and he expects them to say, "Why, yes, sir, there is an underground facility in Dulce, and this colonel did work there." Absolutely. Do you think that the government is actually going to admit to the existence of a top-secret underground facility, let alone something on sovereign land that has aliens there? That's what this person is basing their whole argument on. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. Not to mention that in the DD-214, they found an anomaly, which is an anachronism of sort. See, because the order, the discharge order didn't come about until some 13 years after the date of the colonel's actual discharge source. My source at the NPRC stated that reissued DD-214s, like the colonel's, are not outside of succumbing to human error at the hands of personnel responsible for them. Over 10 years as a business owner, having requested discharge documents for the state of California and federal contracts, which I can openly admit now, unlike I was able to admit before, I have personally seen typos, hand-typed entries, corrections, mistakes, smears, etc. So no, that was not evidence of any type of attempt to conceal or confuse anyone. Anybody can go to Google and Google a DD-214 to see that thousands of examples exist with errors, typos, hand-typed entries, corrections, mistakes, smears, etc. So the kernel of DD-214 is pristine. It contains one small clerical anomaly, and it is 100% genuine. That's what compels me. That's the evidence that compels me to believe the events that the colonel tells me about. So those people who are going to take emails that I sent to them, twist them, augment them, fabricate them further to further their premise to discredit me, you know, they're just absolutely doing the worst thing that they could do for UFO researchers around the world.
You know, you mentioned Colonel X. Don't you have a news source? Somebody?
The person that put me in contact with the colonel, the person that I refer to as Trinity, this is the person that I worked with at Intel Corporation, yes. He was a technician. Now, this is what's funny about him. He was a technician, yes, he had a master's degree in computer science. How many technicians do you know with a master's degree in computer science work in a technician corps? Not likely. So that's when I knew something was off about this guy. But this is the guy that got me in contact with the colonel. This is the guy who was part of a project called Project Leonid. He worked for Lockheed Martin Company. Now, one of the things going around right now is everybody thinks, oh, it's just Lockheed Martin. No. This was Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Hitachi LTD. There was a bunch of companies all working in tandem on Project Leonid with the Department of Defense, with NASA, with the Air Force. This is a multifaceted weapon system that I'm going to be releasing the information on because of this reason. It has a 30% probability of turning against us, much like the Skynet system in Terminator, the movie Terminator. 30% is just too damn high for me. There have been people that have lost their lives, engineers that have already lost their lives, have disappeared because they were going to go forward with the information about Project Leonid. Well, I'm going full blown public with this information. I'm conducting a meeting this week with an individual, and hopefully together we'll set the record straight with regards to Project Leonid.
So. That sounds like you might have that sounds like you may have another book coming out.
I don't know if it's going to be a book. I'm not sure. It may just be on my website. But there is definitely a connection to Dulce, and this is what it is. There is a technology exchange program between the Greys and the military-industrial complex here in the United States. And that technology that's being utilized for Project Limited partially is Grey technology. And what scares me is that Project Leonid is supposed to be used to, you know, prevent incoming ICBMs from the enemy, but also to prevent, defend against incoming alien craft. Well, if the technology is being provided by a faction of these, you know, that were created by these incoming, you know, Anunnaki or progenitors or whatever you want to call them, shouldn't that also be a concern? God, there's so much wrong with this project, and that's why we got to get the information out about Project Leonid.
When we talk about the technology angle, mm-hmm. and the military-industrial complex, I've always thought that a lot of this was kept private because of money. In other words, A, they get a lot of money for developing things and back engineering, and B, if the taxpayers were footing the bill and they came out with these patents, which they do, and they make money commercially, some lawyer out there ought to take them to court and sue on behalf of the taxpayers and get the profits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, we made a major discovery with respect to a company that is doing exactly that. There is a company that is operating under the Technology Commercialization offices over at LANL, taking great technology to mass-produce micronuclear reactors and sell them to militaries around the world. This company is going to make hundreds of billions of dollars, possibly into the trillions. And the reason why, well, we know the reason why they're doing it. It has a lot to do with what I call the Iraqi paradox. You see, we went into Iraq to essentially depose this dictator and to liberate these people, you know, and instill democracy. And we were, you know, conventional wisdom stated that we were supposed to do what? We were supposed to be repaid in oil riches. We never saw a single drip of oil come out of Iraq that benefited the United States or the Western world or anybody who participated in the coalition. Get this. Who benefited from the Iraq war? The New World Order, the Illuminati corporations such as Halliburton and Blackwater. Every single month, while the American taxpayer and all these other coalition countries dumped billions of U.S. dollars into Iraq to rebuild and reconstruct, who was getting paid? Halliburton was. Blackwater was. All these private security firms. All these companies who did what? Who took those dollars, as the dollar began to plummet, they took the money and they converted it into a commodity. Guess which commodity they converted it into? Gold. Why gold? Why is gold skyrocket to $1,700 a troy ounce today? Why is it unreachable to the average person? Because it has been mass hoarded. And you know, another interesting piece of evidence to connect the dots here, that one of the largest gold hoards in the world was known to exist where? In Iraq. Owned by whom? Saddam Hussein. We were never there for the oil. Hell, if we wanted oil, and we did want oil, we just had to go over to Libya. In 3 months, we got all the oil we wanted. The Libyan oil fields are way richer than Saudi Arabia, more plentiful than anywhere else in the world, and it only took us 3 months after working with a NATO incursion to get what we needed. Ironically, a kid in the New York Yankees baseball hat holding a 24-karat gold-plated pistol is the one that took out Gaddafi. Well, there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We never were there for the gold. And remember, that's what this is all about. Why gold? There's anyone who knows anything about Anunnaki and gray technology and, you know, what is one of the requirements if not gold? So there's a lot of connections here. We're still making these connections, connecting the dots. And yeah, you know, the information's going to be coming out. I'm going to be releasing this information in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm glad you got into that part of this equation, because a lot of people just scratch their heads and can't understand exactly why the UFO phenomenon is being covered up after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And if they read your book and if they've heard previous interviews, you feel that there's been a presence of the grays, the ETs, for lack of a better thing, word, underground base underneath the mesa that you were standing on a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there for thousands of years.
Yeah, and originally it wasn't a base; it was just a home. It was a home for these grays who were, you know, essentially deposed there by these progenitors who wanted them to die off because they saw them as a threat. But again, the information that the colonel provided on their whole history based on these gray archaeological tablets that they found, that they brought in Dr. Tahir from Iraq, who was an expert in Akkadian cuneiform, you know, which are now in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, you know, all that information is in my book. I was able to get that information directly from the colonel's mouth onto paper into the book, and we know exactly why they're there. And we know how we found them. We know why they're working with the military-industrial complex. We know what the connection is now. We know that they're dependent on certain resources. Hence, cattle mutilations and abductions that have taken places, you know, that have taken place over the years. And, you know, now, you know, there's this whole My Labs aspect to it where the military is utilizing technology from the Greys to conduct their own, you know, abductions and mutilations, you know, for testing, bioagents and whatnot, like ricin and anthrax on cattle. You know, Gabe Valdez said, don't ever touch those damn cattle. If you come near them, there's a reason why. He knew these things were highly contaminated. With what? With ricin, with anthrax, and other types of bioagents. They found gas masks. They found phosphorus materials. The evidence is there. Somebody is there in Dulce. It's the government, and it's the Greys. We know this. If you read the Human Origin section of my book, you will understand and you will see the shocking connection, you know, between all of the ancient, cultures and societies around the world that continually do what? They repeat the same old stories over and over that point to the existence of these extraterrestrials that were once around Earth called the Anunnaki.
And okay, so they can pick up your book off your website, order it there. And do you have plans for distribution elsewhere?
At the moment, right now, we're just putting everything to the website, UFOHighway.com.
Okay, okay, so they can order it there, and they can go over there. And you keep that updated quite a lot. You work on that website regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Dulce section on our website now. And I'm sure this is not the last we heard of Dulce. Anthony Sanchez, thanks for being on. We're out of time. I've got to make way for some UFO news before the next show. You got any parting comments?
Yeah, I would just like to thank everybody out there who's come forward to help me during this time, you know, with my illness. And I also want to thank all the people who are supporting the UFO Highway team by purchasing our book and giving us supporting information, evidence, and comments. We value your data as much as we value you purchasing a book. I really want to thank you. So thank all of you.
Anthony Sanchez, we'll be back in touch. Thank you very much. This is Jerry Pippin.